Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live today from Oracle Open World in San Francisco, California. And I've got four guests with us today talking about the latest that's going on at this very exciting conference. I'm going to introduce my first guest right away, frequent Chip Chat guest and perennial Oracle Open World guest, Pauline Nist, with me. Pauline, I was thinking this is the third year in a row that we've done Oracle Open World together. And you've helped bring the show alive for our online audience. And I know that you've been scouring the show floor in the keynote hall for tidbits. So why don't we just start with, you know, what is the flavor of Oracle Open World this year? And is the buzz alive at this event?
Well, I think Larry started the buzz last night, and Larry always tries to do that on Sunday night. And we'll talk a little bit about the software and the hardware. And obviously, the big news was the in-memory database with 12c. And to hear Larry talk, you would have thought he invented columnar store, which, of course, every other database out there has been doing. And I did bring along a little bit of humor here. For years and years, there was always the battle of the billboards on 101, where somebody would buy the billboard right in front of Oracle at Redwood Shores. And it used to be Informix or Sybase, you know, until they kind of fell by the wayside. But this week's billboard, which is run by our friends SAP, says in very big letters, if you recognize the agenda this week at the Moscone Center, it's because we set it years ago. Right. And the tweets this morning were all, you know, SAP's been shipping HANA for 3 years, you know. Why are you guys acting like in-memory databases are a brand new thing? But that being said, there were some very impressive performance numbers that were put up. Obviously, much, much stronger on the analytics side, because that's where in-memory has a huge benefit of really being able to let you do joins almost at the speed of light now that it's all in DRAM. And they talked about the fact that it doesn't have to be 100% DRAM, that they've tiered the accesses and they manage your data, whether it's cold or lukewarm or hot, to keep what you're looking for in memory. And that they've done some work to also make transactions faster and preserved all their availability features. So that was an interesting, I mean, Larry did go on at pretty great length about that before he clicked into the hardware, where he announced their, I have to say this in the right order, M632 big memory machine. Wow. Which does sound like a band group, but it's their 32-way new Spark system with some very, very impressive bandwidth in there, you know, with 3 terabytes a second of system bandwidth, and they claim 1/3 the cost of IBM's big system equivalent. It is interesting because the reality is that you can build these big systems with node controllers. You know, you can do it with an Intel chip if you wanted to. You know, we make it very easy for people to build an 8-socket glueless, and we have a lot of Nehalem and Westmeres out there. And I expect when we see our first quarter, you know, Ivy Bridge refresh, we'll see a lot more of the 8-sockets. But there is no reason that our partners couldn't invest to build a big scale-up Intel machine, too.
So we've talked in-memory databases before at Oracle World, and we've talked about them before on the program, not at Oracle World. What's different between the times 10 offering that we've talked about before for Oracle and bringing in-memory into 12c itself?
Well, they acquired times 10, and times 10 had some very good technology, and people were certainly using it, just like there are other providers out there, you know, doing in-memory. Last year, Oracle talked about, quote, in memory, but they were really talking about PCIe-based flash devices. So it wasn't a lie to say it was in memory, but it was kind of stretching the truth because it wasn't a real DRAM performance tier system. I think what you see with 12c is taking that in-memory technology and bringing it to their base product offering. And the reality is there's a lot more Oracle out there than there is times 10. And I can't verify it, but they were claiming that turning this on, you know, was something they'd done a lot of work to make very easy. So you didn't have to reload things and you didn't have to go through very extensive, almost redeployment of your database to turn it on. Now, I don't know how to verify that yet because, you know, it just came out of Larry's mouth last night. And I think it'll be interesting. Lots of questions out there in the tweets today. It'll be interesting in the coming weeks to see what the real experience is of how you do an upgrade to 12C in memory.
Now, the biggest question on my mind, of course, is did Larry talk about the boats?
Oh, of course he talked about them. He opened with the boats. In fact, he actually, in Larry fashion, looked like he'd come straight from the boats. He was very casually dressed last night, you know, in a sweater and pants. And as the local lore, we all find it very, very intriguing that after having been down, you know, what, 5-2, suddenly Oracle has been winning the races in the past week and, in fact, won 2 races yesterday. So it was very well timed that their chief exec could stand up and actually say that maybe they were back in the hunt. And then, of course, Mark Hurd turned us all into cheerleaders this morning at 8 o'clock, where he taught everybody. They played a boat video and got us all theoretically videotaped so they can play it on the America's Cup channel and show everybody at Oracle Open World rooting for the USA, which I think... do they need more cheerleaders is the question you have to ask.
Well, apparently. Maybe that's what's really getting them, you know, all of the folks come for Oracle Open World, show up at the marina, and now Team Oracle is doing well. I didn't know that Team Oracle was Team USA. Is that
yes,
the way
no,
they
it
were?
No, it is Team USA.
Oh, interesting.
It's because it's really the USA against the world challengers, and you've had, you know, the Luna Rossa team in there, and you've had the Kiwis, you know, and some other teams that have already fallen out. But the America's Cup is kind of interesting because if you win it, you get to write the rules for the next race and pick the location. So kind of imagine if you won the Super Bowl, and then you could pick whatever location in the world you wanted to have it in and rewrite football's rules.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre to me. Well, you know, maybe by next Oracle Open World, I'll get this America's Cup stuff down, but I have not been following it, so I've got to check this out because everybody's talking about it.
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting because, as I was saying earlier, when you registered for Oracle Open World, the second screen you got was, do you want to buy tickets? Which kind of says that any sessions between 1:15 and 4 are highly questionable if you expect your crowd to be over watching the race.
If you're a speaker, I wouldn't expect a thick crowd for those. But we did have another keynote that I want to talk to you about, and that's our own Intel keynote delivered by Intel VP Doug Fisher. So what did Doug talk about today?
Well, Doug talked about a lot of great things. He did talk about the overall vision that you've heard before, which is, you know, the virtual cycle of being able to supply more industry standard computes at really reasonable costs, which are enabling all kind of new apps from, you know, social and consumer all the way through to cloud and the data center. But the new things that he talked about here were the new Hadoop connectors from Oracle to our Intel distribution of Hadoop. We hadn't launched that before. He also talked about API gateways and how important they were becoming, and with both our Expressway product for on-site and our Mastery product in the cloud, we're really seeing a lot more interest in API management as these apps develop. Whether you know they're targeted at the cloud or they're targeted at handheld and mobile devices, you still need to manage access to your APIs and security. And then, of course, he had a Quark chip, and he had Jerry Rice.
Oh, wow. Jerry Rice was there.
Yes, Jerry Rice was there. And this is I think, the second event we've done with Jerry.
With the Quark chip, apparently.
Well, no. It was a plan. Doug traded him the Quark chip for a football that Jerry was throwing around with him. So I'm not sure, but I think that Doug may have got the better end of that deal because I'm not quite sure what Jerry's going to do with the Quark chip.
An internet of football things, apparently.
Well, what they were talking about, indeed, was Jerry was talking about just what real-time data availability means to performance athletes. I mean, you know, everybody's running around with a Fitbit, but his, you know, his message was, well, just think if like every sprint you do, if every training session you have is really measured with all of this biometric data that helps you improve your performance because you're getting real-time feedback. Not to mention the fact that we've also used Jerry with other partners talking about just how big data drives fantasy football.
Right.
I mean, fantasy is nothing but the big data of football. And what I find intriguing is they're building the new stadium for the 49ers just up the road from us in Santa Clara. These new stadiums in the NFL are going to have fantasy football lounges. Now, I want you to imagine that. You go to a real football game, but you don't want to be away from your fantasy information for so long that you don't want, you know, anytime there's a break to duck into a fantasy lounge and check out the performance of all the guys you've drafted so you know instantly what your fantasy team is doing.
You know what would be cool is if they could build it into the seat so that you wouldn't even have to go to the lounge. It could just read your smartphone or whatever device you had on
you.
And then it could just automatically upload your team and provide you real-time
updates. Provide it right there. That would be cool. I mean, I think the notion right now, you know, is a room full of screens that's kind of...
There's a social aspect to it.
Yeah, there is, of how you interact with it and you know, what you're sharing. But I do find this notion that the real world of football finds that it needs to interact with the imaginary world of football in real time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great use of data analytics.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Doug for a second. And, you know, the cork chip, what was he talking about with the cork chip here?
Well, he was talking about the Internet of Things and the whole continuum. And there had been some previous presentations Heard had an analogous presentation to what we've used with Boeing, which was the Airbus guy up there talking about just how much data your average Airbus airplane generates, you know, in an hour of flying time. And so, you know, when Doug got into the Internet of Things and really going from machine-generated information all the way to the cloud, he talked about our recent announcement at the Intel Developer Forum of this new small chip that we've really designed to be put in the things, in the Internet of Things, because we need more intelligence in those devices, whether they're jet engines or whether they're more straightforward pieces of equipment on manufacturing production lines or the bottom of oil wells. You're not really going to have the power even for an atom. You really want something that's very long live that is giving you real-time information about whatever device it's connected to. And I think that we're going to see more and more happen in that low-power space because the... Advantage, the optimizations you get from really being able to track performance in real time are just significant.
Yeah. And Mashery, you know, you were the first guest on Chip Chat to actually bring up Mashery. What is so critical, do you think, about API management in the cloud, and why does Mashery make sense for Intel?
Well, I think the reason that API management is so important in the COD is the mobile devices. Because the reality is, there isn't one of these things. I mean, think about it. Everybody walks around with the power of the cell phone or the iPad or whatever in their hand and thinks this thing is so powerful, I can access anything instantly. Well, if the cloud wasn't there, you couldn't access anything instantly. I mean, the smarts aren't in this. The smarts are in the cloud that you're accessing that's giving you the data. And what you do whenever you have apps here, when people develop apps, you need some way to manage those apps and the database that they're accessing in the cloud. You just can't let anybody who isn't authorized and certified generate a request in to get data. Otherwise, it would be the wild, wild west out there.
Mm-hmm.
And APIs are one of the tiers at which you can manage and control how a variety of mobile apps access your data. I mean, if you're United Airlines and you put a United app on here, obviously you're controlling who's accessing your data. But we've all gone to Flight Tracker. We've all gone to all of the other apps that are out there, and they're all accessing all of that same airline data. Well, how do airlines control who's getting that, and how do they make sure that they're getting accurate data and real-time data? I mean, I go back and forth between United and Flight Tracker just to see who's most up-to-date. You know, it's kind of a race to see who's actually updating the fastest. And that's why that API control is important. I mean, it's what you get above kind of the HTML5 layer. You know, we talk about the right ones run anywhere, but you still have to access somebody's database in the cloud for a lot of the apps you're doing.
So then to the second point of my question, why Mashery and Intel?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting because Boyd Davis's group also has an API product called Express Gateway, mm-hmm. Which was part of the Sarvega acquisition that we did years ago. And Express Gateway is an on-premise kind of data center API access control, which is used more for what I would say are, you know, enterprise access of data. And it actually has some security options that will let you even, you know, control credit card access and stuff. Prior to the acquisition of Mashery, the Express Gateway guys had already partnered with Mashery because what they were finding was that you needed both solutions. You needed a COD apps option and you needed an on-premise right. option. And so we had been partnering with Mashery for probably about 6 months when I think somebody said, geez, this is really kind of completing the portfolio. Maybe we ought to go a step further than just a partnership and look at it as part of a full API kind of solution story.
When you look at Oracle Open World, it's a full week. Obviously, we're in the beginnings of Oracle World Open World here. What is it that you're most excited about for the rest of the week?
I think this is always a understand what the customers are doing and what the customers want. I mean, one of the things I've seen so far, even in Mark Hurd's keynote this morning and in Doug's keynote this morning, is having a lot of customers on stage. I've also noticed that when you look at the partnerships and the sponsorships, it almost seems like every year the system integrators are getting stronger at this show because they're providing the solutions. Mm-hmm. They're helping people take all of this technology that we're all a part of, whether it's Oracle or whether it's Intel, you know, Exadata, and actually deploy it into solutions. And that's something we can learn from, because you have to kind of see what's hot and what's on people's minds and what they're doing with this. That being said, this is probably, in some regards, not as exciting a show for Intel as it has been in the past, because we're kind of between products right now. There are no right. Exadatas that are announced. I think at next year's show, we'll see, you know, next generation Exadatas based on, you know, Ivy Bridge EX. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see more on the hardware side than we're seeing here this time, because it takes Oracle about 6 months after the introduction of one of our parts to really get it incorporated into their engineers' systems. So from that point, you know, while we can talk about the Ivy Bridge E5 systems that we version 2 that we just announced, it's almost too soon to see something show up in an Oracle product.
Well, I thank you very much for coming. I know that your time here is valuable. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing with the audience. If folks want to follow Pauline, she'll be tweeting all week here, I'm sure. She's at PANIST, PANIST on Twitter, and I follow her. She's a good follow. But Pauline, thanks so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It's always great to talk to you.